This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, October 5th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Newsom expands paid sick leave. Card check faces legal scrutiny, and speaker candidates have sought to cut USDA budget. Newsom signs bill boosting paid sick leave. Governor Newsom yesterday signed SB 616, that to expand paid sick leave for workers by 2 days. The governor reasoned that more sick days would save employees money by improving productivity and morale. He said that, quote, too many folks are still having to choose between skipping a day's pay and taking care of themselves or their family members when they get sick. But Cal Chamber President and CEO Jennifer Barrera blasted the bill for imposing significant costs that many small businesses can't absorb. To deal with it, they will have to reduce jobs, cut wages, or raise consumer prices, she claimed. Continuing to add costs to their price of doing business creates a threat to California's long-term competitiveness, said Barrera. Amendments had trimmed the proposal down from 5 extra sick days. Yet farm groups were also concerned the measure would calculate the wage from a weekly pay average, meaning a farm worker could earn peak harvest pay while out sick. Ag employers, already grappling with a workforce shortage, have seen entire crews call in sick during major holidays when more lucrative seasonal work is available, that according to some lobbyists who worried SB 616 would encourage more abuses. Pending card check regulations raise new alarms. California's Agricultural Labor Relations Board will soon approve new regulations to implement AB 113, Newsom's controversial labor deal on card check. During bill hearings this year, farm groups pointed out a worker's signature could be used on a union election ballot up to a year later. AB 113 is silent on whether that worker could revoke the signature. But the California Farm Bureau is charging that ALRB's interpretation goes too far beyond the legislation on this issue. During an ALRB hearing yesterday, Carol Borden, senior counsel at the Farm Bureau, argued the proposed regulations would make a signature irrevocable, conflicting with federal labor law. ALRB considers the signature a vote, even if it is filed a year later and the worker's job or view on unions has changed. Borden requested that new ballot signatures nullify the old ones. He also called for language on cards explaining that workers can revoke their authorization and wanted a form on ALRB's website to do so. But United Farm Workers contend AB 113 did not allow for revoking signatures, and any effort to weaken the standards would violate the law and harm worker rights. An ALRB attorney responded that other provisions require workers to be on the payroll when a union submits a petition. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. GOP leaders backed attacks on USDA budget. Two leading Republicans have jumped into the race for House Speaker. Steve Scalise of Louisiana, the current House Majority Leader, and Jim Jordan of Ohio, the House Judiciary Committee Chairman. The two have fairly long records on ag issues, most recently in the debate over the fiscal year 24 USDA spending bill. Both demonstrated a willingness to vote for deeper cuts in agencies and programs, even though the proposals were opposed by a large majority of House members. Scalise and Jordan voted to scrap funding for Food for Peace, USDA's flagship food aid program. The two men also voted to slash spending for the Natural Resources Conservation Service back to FY16 levels and roll back the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, which funds research at land-grant universities, to its FY19 level. Now take note, Jordan, a former chair of the House Freedom Caucus, did split with some hardline conservatives and voted against an amendment targeting commodity checkoff programs. Jordan supported an amendment to bar USDA from requiring electronic IDs for cattle. Scalise didn't cast a vote on either issue. He's missed several votes recently as he undergoes cancer treatment. By the way, Jordan voted against the final version of the 2018 Farm Bill, which passed the House 369-47. Scalise voted for the legislation. Both men voted against both the 2008 and 2014 Farm Bills. Gap report release draws hundreds at D.C. launch event. Nearly 150 people gathered at the National Press Club and another 300 virtually for the release yesterday of the annual Global Agricultural Productivity Report, which said the world is consistently failing to produce enough food with the same or fewer resources defined as total factor productivity. To feed nearly 10 billion people by 2050, the assumption of needing to double agriculture production from 2010 to 2050 is still valid, the report's executive summary said. The event was co-sponsored by GAP Initiative, Sustainable Productivity Growth Coalition, and USDA. It featured a panel of global experts and producers who offer insight into the relationship between productivity, sustainability, and climate change, accelerating productivity growth by identifying examples of what works, and scaling up solutions and implications of policy, partnerships, and research priorities. Also, Alexis Taylor, USDA Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs, told the audience the upcoming United Nations COP28 would have a, quote, stronger focus on agricultural and food systems than previous COPs. Taylor cited a 2021 report in Nature showing that since 1961, agriculture productivity is down 21% because of human-caused climate change. That is equivalent to 7 years of lost farm productivity advances, she said. You can read our full report at agripulse.com. Webinar focuses on food traceability challenges, opportunities. Food traceability is the subject of a webinar hosted today by the Council for Agriculture Science and Technology, or CAST, and Institute of Food Technologists. The discussion will focus on the CAST IFT paper, Food Traceability, Current Status, and Future Opportunities, now available on the CAST website. Cornell University Professor Emeritus Robert Gravani will be presenting. That webinar will be held from 1 to 2 Eastern Time. Well, here's today's She Said It. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change projects that as much as 30% of current agricultural land worldwide could become unsuitable for farming by the end of the century. That's not a distant future. And the word of Alexis Taylor, Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agriculture Affairs, at the release of the Global Agricultural Productivity Report yesterday. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, October 5th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chap Nally.